you liaise with parishes a lot. My question is, what happens in terms of Loughborough? Because
so it's with the elected
to parish, and as I say, in terms of where my ward, there's a lot of Section 106 stuff going on. I maybe ought to know more about it, but I don't. And is that because I'm not linking in, because there isn't a process, I don't?
Through you, Chair, there is a process that's set out on the Council's website, and perhaps we could provide that link through the Community Clerk, Chair, just to remind members where the information is. But in Loughborough, the contact's through the elected representatives for a board level.
Could would it be possible for that link to be sent to all councillors, please?
Okay.
Councillor Campbell.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, same question. So you're saying all the parishes get their parish clerks will get the information, but being in Thorpe Acre, we don't get anything, only sort of personal, is it, to each councillor, to look for councillors?
Through you, Chair, that might be because you haven't been affected by development recently.
We've just had 3,500 houses.
Yeah.
But through you, Chair, that hasn't been signed or activated yet, the Garendon scheme.
Thank you. Yes, I think it needs to be clarified that the 106, yes, Section 106 funds, just because something's been talked about and planned, that's not when it's released. It's only when it comes to the actual point of actually putting it in place.
Yeah.
Councillor Draycott and then Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. Yourself and Councillor Lowe were quite correct. There was a Section 106 working party set up a few years back, and I was a member on it, and that was because there was a lot of concerns and a lot of members not knowing actually how it worked, etc. One of the key things that we did get through Cabinet was that in future, when planning applications were lodged, that members right at the beginning of the process got involved, and so they had a say in how the money was going to be used, rather than being told at the end of the process what it was going to be used for. My question is related to that, being a Loughborough councillor, because this report says the sums are allocated according to analysis of need through a range of strategies. And like the ward that I represent, Hastings Ward, there has been a number of large-scale developments, mainly private flats, but a lot of the Section 106 money doesn't actually come back into the ward, because there isn't the range of strategies within that ward to spend it on. So the money is spent outside of the Hastings ward, whereas if you're in a parish, you get fully involved, you can have a shopping list ready on what you'd like the money spent on, you're kept informed of it all the time. But that is not the case for Loughborough councillors. And I'm in conversation with the planning department about this very issue at the moment, because with the current planning application, the county council can also bid for use of that money as well. And we've had suggestions from the county council for money, but not to be spent in the ward, because, like, for example, we don't have a library in Hastings. So we'd like money for 676 books in the general library. Well, if the development's taking place in our ward, then we should have some benefit from it. And if you look at the issues in the Hastings ward, just take the last report where we're losing our children's centre, possibly, and all the issue with troubled families, right? That money is desperately needed. And I just don't understand why it's different between Loughborough councillors and their wards and parish councillors, and that policy needs reviewing so that Loughborough councillors can benefit just the same as parishes are at the moment. And that, I thought, had been agreed at that Section 106 working party, but doesn't seem to be in practice, Chair.
Through you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay.
There is no difference in approach between Loughborough wards and parishes outside of Loughborough. There's one approach for the borough as a whole. That was an approach that was developed with councillors a couple of years ago now through the scrutiny process, which I think you were involved with. The facts of the matter are that new developments that take place, where they are going to have an impact on community infrastructure that is such that where they're going to have an impact on community infrastructure, contributions towards improving that infrastructure are made in order to overcome what would otherwise be a reason for refusal for the scheme. So you can't ask for things which aren't directly related in scale and kind or are necessary to enable that development to go ahead. And the rules around this are very clear and well tested through the courts. And I see Councillor Rollins nodding next to me here. So if there is a direct impact from development in Hastings Ward, then a contribution could be derived from that scheme if without that contribution you would otherwise refuse permission. So what we do through the process that we've agreed is to go out and talk to ward councillors in Loughborough when a planning application is first received, to talk to them about what impacts they think a scheme will have. And if it meets the tests which are set out in legislation, then we will seek to secure that from developers to mitigate those impacts. So there is a mechanism in place for members to get involved in that conversation. It's a two-way conversation between members and planning case officers to understand what those impacts are. And then we go through the process of trying to secure those where they're appropriate and meet the test.
Thank you.
Can I come back, Chair? Councillor Draycott, that's not happening. We get notification of planning applications and we're asked for review. I mean, you just heard three Loughborough councillors saying it's not happening, right? So we get asked for a view, but we're being asked for a view on the actual planning application. Mm. We're not contacted about Section 106 money.
Never.
And if it's like working, how can the count if it only has to be spent on infrastructure that allows the application to be approved, then how can like the county council bid for library books out of that money? That's not infrastructure, right? So I don't understand, Chair.
I think...
Through you, Chair, just to say, when we notify you of a new planning application, that is the point at which the case officers and the board councillors enter a dialogue about what the impacts of development are. Now, in our process, there is an opportunity to... reach out to elected representatives before a planning application is actually submitted formally, but that's not a statutory process, and it's at the discretion of the applicant. You know, if they want to engage with local communities before they submit an application to help shape their application, that's a very positive thing, and our procedure facilitates that and seeks to engage with local representatives. Not just elected representatives, but also community groups, to have this conversation. But as I say, it's not a statutory thing, and we can't hold developers to it. So the first point at which many of our conversations start is when a planning application is received, so when you're first notified. And I think I'm right in saying that the letter that goes out to you asks you to comment on what Section 106 requirements you think are necessary.
I don't recall seeing that wording.
Can we take this? Maybe Mr. Bennett can look at it and let us know. But maybe we also need to go back and look at our latest letters we've received and actually extract the note. I have Councillor Seaton waiting.
It's really just to pass on a little bit of knowledge from having 4,500 houses in our village. We've got Thurmaston itself has got no 106 money coming from that. It is spent within the development. Mm. So there is 106 money for the large developments, but they are to be spent within that development. Now, it just so happens that I am a parish councillor, but taking that away,
just pretend I'm not kind of thing. I've got a shopping list. So if I do hear of anything that's going to be planned, I've got this shopping list already. And I advise you or any other Loughborough councillor to have that shopping list. But if unfortunately, some of, say, my ideas, we haven't got the land to do those ideas on anyway. So, I mean, my, some things off my shopping list just won't happen because we haven't got the land available for what I want. But I have got a shopping list. So that when when an application does come through, I think, oh, that might fit that criteria. You know, I might be able to get a kitchen put into that community centre because it... And... going to just saying something about the library. Our library in Thurmaston closed down, like most of them. We've then fought and had a purpose-built one next to our community centre. Now, I have to fight for the 106 library money to come to our library, but it does. And I've asked for it to do that. It might come in dribs and drabs. But it is down, and I believe there's some in the pocket there already. But the 4,500 houses, they're going to have eventually their own library, so it will be held for them. But I'm fighting that as well.
Can we are keeping to the report, aren't we, Council?
Just while Mr. Bennett's here, how big does an application have to be before we can get some 106 money off it? Extensions don't count, obviously, but I mean... If it's wondering what's about a house or two houses,
It's the test is should if the application is needs to be refused because it's creating an impact on some community infrastructure, and if by providing that infrastructure you could overcome the reason for refusal, then you can ask for it, more or less. To summarise the test. So there isn't really a size threshold. I mean, there are policies about the point at which you can start asking for affordable housing, for example. But generally speaking...
Yeah, I understand that. It's just that we lost a public open space on my ward. The chap bought it for 25 grand. Now it's up for sale now because we've got provision for a bungalow for 115. So that chap's going to make 80,000, 90,000 and we ain't had a penny from it. Mm. We've lost an open space, you know. It seems a shame we didn't ask for some... 500 quid for our group to help the kids out, the play area, that's all.
Yes,
thank you.
I think though, in clarification, I think reselling property doesn't attract S106 money. It's the initial build, not the last. So are we happy to note the content of this report?
Mm.
Thank you. And Mr. Bennett will check that it does say on the letter to all councillors. Thank you.
Can I just make a comment? I think even though we have had an awful lot of training on this, I think it's still highlighted that we do still need more training on this subject. There are new councillors all the while coming on.
Through you, Chair.
It has been brought to my attention already that we do it on an annual basis. We do it in May last year, so we're going to be working with the various officers to set up another training event in May going forward.
Thank you.
Jack, can I just ask this? This is an item that 12 months ago you requested come back in 12 months' time, so I think...
We need to think about this. Do we want this report to come back in 12 months' time? Basically, what it's giving is a report of is the use and where the monies are for 106, not individual 106 arrangements. It's already being done quarterly by the SMT, and it has an internal audit. It's had one recently, and there will be another one. Do we still require this to come back to it? Councillor Rollins.
I'm personally not sure what benefit we'll get seeing it again, but what I would say is if we do as a group want it again, I think it'd be helpful to see the amount of money received that year, the amount of money spent and the amount we're still holding, so it's a bit clearer as a graph so we can actually compare it year on year, because at the minute it's a bit of a snapshot in time, which is fine, but I'm not actually convinced we need to see it.
Councillor Seaton.
Ditto, I don't see the value of this coming back. I think... I mean, further training is obviously what we need. But I don't think the reports, there's any value of coming back.
I think because it is quarterly looked at by the senior management team, I'm not convinced that we have reports for the sake of reports. They have to have a reason and why we are scrutinised. And at this time, I think we've taken the action we need. So,
agreed.
Agreed.
Is that agreed?
Yeah.
All of it, that we don't bring this back at this time anyway. Is that all right with you, Mrs. Bennett?
Very pleased, Chair.
Thank you.
Oh, but I'm, we sure can call you back something else. <don't they? laughs>
There'd be another reason.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We now move on to item 8, which is the, we invite...
Item 8.
Yeah. We've done item 7.
It's not,
I've
got a number 8 on the
top.
It's at the top. It's in a squiggly place. That's the official tier. Is it? So this is the general fund and housing revenue account revenue monitoring report, which shows the actual position on the revenue budget as at the end of December 2017. Members should note that heads of service comments on variances to date are now included in appendix 1 for the general fund and on pages 2 and 3 for the HRA. It looks slightly different to reports that you've had previously because it's a new format monitor which we changed following some feedback we'd received, and the aim is to make the report clearer and easier to understand. Points to note, the total underspend to date on the general fund at the end of December is £501,000, which is 3.4% of the profiled budget. At this point in 2016-17, the general fund underspend was actually £921,000, which was 6% of the profile budget at that time. For the housing revenue account, the total underspend to the end of December is £572,000, which is 7.7% of the profile budget. And to note, at this point in 2016-17, the HRA underspend was £390,000, which is 5.6% of the profile budget. At the point that this report was written, so as at the 31st of December, the projected outturn for the general fund, which is based on information from heads of service, is an underspend of £121,000. And on the same basis, the HRA projection is for an underspend of £252,000. We reviewed underspending trends over the past three financial years as part of the 2018-19 budget setting in order to identify potential efficiencies to balance the budget going forward. Other points to note from the report is there is a shortfall of income from planning fees at this date of £106,000, which is 12% of the profile budget. For those fees, the head of service is anticipating that there'll be a large number of planning applications before the end, which should bring that into balance. There's also a shortfall of income in the building control service of £67,000, which is 33% of their profile budget, and this is actually anticipated to increase to £80,000 by the year end. The service manager in the service is reviewing the situation going forward. Points to note on the HRA, on page 3, landlord services is showing an underspend of £51,000 on salaries due to vacant posts. Within this, a large portion of it was due to a fixed term tenancy in the state management post, which was vacant earlier in the year and has now been filled. The post's going to carry forward into next year so that we have it for the full fixed term of the contract, and it was created to provide additional capacity to enable the team to undertake more proactive estate-based work, including estate walkabouts in the community. Other large variances within landlord services are in the planned maintenance and compliance programmes, which are currently showing underspends of £128,000 and £289,000 respectively.
Programmes are in place to deliver the works, and full spend is anticipated in maintenance and the fire-related works and smoke detection areas of compliance. There's potentially going to be underspending on gas compliance subcontractors because of constrained contractor resources. Just to reassure members, this isn't gas safety related. It's more like general improvements such as box stores and items that aren't up to the current standard. And the head of service is giving consideration to using different contractors to deliver the works, or using the budget to deliver system alterations at sheltered courts that are needed. That was all I was really planning to say.
Thank you. Councillor Huddleston.
Yeah, just a couple of things for me. Underspends off themselves are fine, as long as it's not causing problems and things like compliance. That there's just a couple of things on here I just wanted to check out with you. On page 5, under Head of Neighbourhood Services, I think I'm using that right, saying there's a 50,000 underspend on community grants. Is that, have I got your brackets the right way around?
Yeah, and that's anticipated to be the same position.
What kind of grants are there? Because I would have expected if we plan to spend it on community grants, is it because we've not had sufficient applications, or because the applications are wrong, or it's being carried forward?
I think we'll go back to Europe in May, Pat, but I think the community grants are done at set times throughout the year.
Yeah.
And this is only up until December, and the financial year doesn't finish.
It is, but the forecast position at the end of the year is the same as it is now.
Yeah.
So therefore, we're not anticipating on spending any of that money. And that's my question really, is if it's there to be spent on community projects, is there a particular reason why it's not being spent?
Sorry, through you, Chair.
Yeah.
There's actually going to be a carry forward request for some of the community grants at the end of the financial year.
Is that the 25 then?
Yes. Part of the reason for the underspend is because we haven't had the applications in. So obviously grants are only awarded once applications come in and they meet the criteria. So,
obviously one of the reasons they asked this, we had a heated debate yesterday about a lottery to generate money to give community grants, which was going to raise 30,000 or 40,000, when we're sitting on 50,000, and it just doesn't quite make sense to me. Because if we can't spend the money that we've got, why are we looking at more? We should be promoting the use of these funds. If we're not getting the right kind of applications, we should be doing something to get the existence of this money's out there.
The Charnwood grants, a lot of publicity is made about these grants, and it goes out on press releases. And
it's obviously not working, is it?
If you have specific questions, it is
just a point that if we've created a budget for projects like this, we should be spending it. And if it's not coming, if the applications aren't coming in, we should be really pushing that so that the community know it's there.
Yeah. There are often timing differences on the community grants, so it's a position that
indeed.
We do carry.
And if the forecast was that it would be spent, I would ignore it. My worry is that it's just there, and is it being used? Because figures look quite tight towards the year end in terms of balance or loan spend. My worry would be that we're using community grants to offset overspend elsewhere.
No.
Okay. Second point, if I could, while I'm on a roll.
Councillor Woodleston, if you wish, we could refer that question to the Head of Service.
Sorry?
If you wish, we could refer that question to the Head of Service.
I'd be very interested.
In response to all councillors, please.
Mm. Yeah. The other question, really, and again, this could be my inexperience here. Page 6, under Head of Customer Experience, there is, I think, again, if I've got the brackets right, an overspend on capita contract inflation. And it's just, why would we not have planned for contract inflation? Because if there's inflation in a contract, you should know what it is. So it just seems odd that a contract with CAPITA or any such organisation would wind up overspending like that. Or are we being charged for things that we hadn't anticipated? I say this because my experience in the NHS is you give a contract to a private company, they'll set you a charge, and then they'll come back in 6 months and say, this wasn't included, or if you want this, that's got to happen. And I want to be clear that that's not happening here.
Mr. Ward will be able to answer that question now.
Unless.
No, carry on.
My understanding is, Chair, that the contract we have with Capita is based on volumes of transactions they process and population size in terms of the number of capital tax bills they send out. And there was a threshold within the contract that there would be no price increase up to that point. Mm-hmm. And we have now triggered that threshold. So Capita have submitted, I think we called it inflation, but it's actually a volume-based increase in the contract. So Capita send out all of our council tax bills for us and do our council tax collection. And my understanding is that the contract said up to X thousand bills, the price is fixed. But when you go over whatever that number is, and I can't stop and remember the number, Capita can then increase the price accordingly. And I know that the head of customer experience and the strategic director of corporate services have been in discussions with Capita about how much that increased, how much we should allow for that increase. Because Capita did originally submit a figure that we have been disputing. So my understanding is that that is what that probably relates to.
Okay. So, Councillor Pratt, I presume that is because of the number of properties that have been completed. Yes. And as we now are housing build has increased because we've had to, that therefore, I don't know when this contract was fixed, but if we built more houses than we thought, or more houses, not we, but houses have been built, that means more bills have got to go out, which means more money is coming into the council at the end of the day anyway.
The contract was let about 8 years ago.
Yes. So the number of properties that have been built in that time, and our redevelopment plans, the numbers altered during that time.
Yes, with new builds over the last eight years, we have now reached that trigger point where Capita can make a claim for extra money under the contract.
Right. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, please, if I could follow on, Chair, from that point then. So how long is the contract for, do we know?
It's 10, Chair. It's not my area. No. I think it was a 10-year contract, so it's coming up.
So I think when the next one comes up, it needs to work with the planning department, who's got the projections of the number of new houses that are going to be built. And we won't have those thresholds and then coming back for more money, whoever it's going to be.
I think, Chair, for the last 8 years, we've actually done pretty well out of it, because there has been no volume increase. I mean, the contract could have said, for every extra house you build, we will charge you an extra. But we didn't. The contract wasn't worded like that. It had this, up to this point, we pay nothing extra. But as soon as you hit that point, the capital then can put in a claim for extra cost.
I think the two should be working together for the next contract anyhow.
Well, I think we can rely on our procurement processes. That will be covered in, because the number of houses is quite a very, you know, we can't guarantee that X number of houses a year will be built. We can only I have Councillor Campbell, and then I have Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, three things on page 5. Outward site preparation, car park. It's a shortfall, wasn't it?
Can I just intervene there? Yeah. The on page 5, I was the cabinet lead member when this was discussed, so I would quite happy for you to discuss it, but I will not be able to take part in that. Anything to do? Was there anything else that you
I just wanted to mention about the public conveniences.
Yeah.
Are they on target? Are people coming through the door, sort of thing?
I can pass back to the officer regarding the income. This again was in my portfolio.
Right.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that I think we've altered
Chair, I think you should leave it to the officer.
Leave it to the officer, and if the officer doesn't have to respond, then we will get
the relevant head of service.
And then there was just the thing about crime reduction, salaries, and full paid scout. I just wonder what that was about. So, if you can see it.
Put together.
Yeah, I just wonder what that was.
So it was the outwards.
Yeah, is it on track? Are we
the public conveniences and
what's the public scout got to do with crime reduction salaries? That's all.
Sorry, if I may, it actually isn't anything to do with. They're two separate things that are making up that figure. So
I just wonder why the big scout is that a cost then?
There'll be some cost against that, and cost against the crime reduction salary. Mm. So it's kind of two.
I'm just wondering why, because that's a private. It's nothing to do with the council. You see the scout.
Anything. Can I clarify your question about the public conveniences?
Yeah, because we open on the Friday now. I get people asking me why can't we open more often. And I just we're open is it on market days, don't we?
Is this Biggin Street?
Biggin Street, and then you're open on a Friday, didn't you?
That goes through the Loughborough special.
Right then.
Expenses. Biggin Street.
That's on page 8.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
On page 8.
Right. Yeah. Got you.
It does explain why.
Right. Got you now. Okay. Small print, isn't it? You see it.
It gets you up and down.
Yeah.
So if the toilets, sorry, Councillor Draycott, so if the toilets are, is that underspent?
Sorry, which?
Or overspent? The public conveniences. Mm.
The public conveniences are on, that's an overspend of 8,000 at the moment.
An overspend?
Yes.
Sorry, I said
it's an overspend or a shortfall of income, so that those figures in brackets mean we haven't met our income targets if you look at the Biggin Street, for example, it's a mixture of shortfall in income and increased staffing costs.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Claire, the public conveniences line on page 5 doesn't just cover the toilets in Loughborough, but
no,
page 8 does just cover the toilets.
So, yes, the one of the head of labour and culture will cover the toilets across the whole of the borough council's area. The Loughborough special expenses is essentially treating that as if we were a town council, so it's purely Loughborough related expenses. And that one explains we had the original budget of 4,000. We're actually projecting to spend 5,500 because we're having to pay 10.5 for the Friday opening.
Are there any more questions?
So the scout, you'll get back to me, will you?
To all of us.
What we'll do is we'll ask the head of service and circulate a response. And the outwards car park, was it?
So I thought we were on track, I thought it was okay, you see. I thought we were we were getting more cars in and it was all.
There's a shortfall and obviously some of the preparation costs and promotional costs.
Yeah, first off, but we should recoup that.
So we will keep monitoring that, and we'll come back.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Councillor Seaton.
Right, it's a suggestion really, Chair, if you don't mind. If this comes back again, if the committee deems to have this come back again, which I believe it will annually, or is it quarterly? Then the way that the Loughborough special expenses is laid out with an explanation about why it's a non-draw or overspend, whether it would be possible to do that on the year-end forecast by service. I understand when it's other variances or when it's not a specific thing that you can't do, like the toilets, it's all of the toilets. But when it's a specific thing like, I can't find one now, market income shortfall, primary, that's got it actually, So actually, Chair, looking at them, the ones that are a specific have got an explanation against them. So scrub that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Seaton. Okay.
Just to say thank you for the comment, Councillor Seaton. This is actually new for this
this time, so when you've seen the report previously, you probably wouldn't have seen this. So we have actually changed the format. So, yeah, thank you for the...
And this is a quarterly report?
It is, yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, Ken, I think we just have to... Is this just for information and noting? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. We'll get back to members with answers.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We move on to item 9, the tenancy support report, and I will ask Mr. Oliver to come and join us. And we also have a new face joining us this time.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce?
Certainly. Thank you,
Mr. Oliver.
I'm Claire Westwood this evening. Claire's a principal officer for tenancy and income management, so tenancy support falls within her service area, and she'll be presenting this evening, Chair.
Thank you. Just
prior to asking Claire to engage, there's a typo on page 4 at the bottom for clarity. It's the last paragraph, and it says 556 tenancies were started in the period 1st of April 2017 to 31st of April, December 2017. Should be 2016, apologies.
Did you get that?
I didn't, unfortunately.
Sorry, could you
page 4.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Last paragraph.
Yeah.
Should read 2016, not 2017.
So
it's 2016 to 2016.
So the 1st of April 2016.
Yes, to the 31st of December.
The 356 tenants.
That's correct.
2016.
Yeah. Okay. Apologies. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, thank you.
Try that. Sorry. Thank you very much.
That's fair to commence. Thank you.
So is that the same, Chair, if I may? On 6, customer satisfaction, is that 2016 to 2016?
No. I'll explain what it is. I'll explain this performance indicator before Claire cracks on. What we do, alright, is we have a look. We look at all the tenancies that started a year ago. And then what we do is we have a look to see whether those tenancies are still going or not. So that's a measure of tenancy sustainment. And we look at the reasons why those tenancies fail, and we decide whether or not we could have done something about this. So this year, what we've done over the period 1st of April to December, this year, so April, the period 2017, we look at all the ones that started in the same period, 2016, and we have a look and we see whether or not they're still running and how they've fared over that 12 month period. And then we look to see what the reason is for tenancy failure. So that's the measure. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks. It's a little bit complicated. I can understand that. So thank you. Apologies. I'll hand you over to Claire.
Good evening. The purpose of the report is to consider the performance data in relation to tenancy support and tenancy sustainment and the reasons for tenancy failure. And the panel is asked to note the content of the report. The tenancy support team consists of 3 tenancy support officers and 1 team leader. And the tenancy support team supports council tenants to sustain tenancies and live independently. The team leader also manages cases as well as the officers. And the tenancy support team carry out an assessment when a property is offered to a prospective tenant to try and identify people who require support at the earliest opportunity. There has been a slight increase in the number of cases dealt with by the tenancy support team compared to the same period in the previous year. When the tenancy support team close a case, they record the reason for the closure. The number of cases closed has increased compared to the same period in the previous year, and 91.3% of cases were closed with successful outcomes. The tenancy support team works with the most hard-to-reach tenants who have highly chaotic lifestyles and can struggle with substance, addiction and mental health issues. Therefore, despite the best efforts of the team, it is not always possible to obtain successful engagement with tenants referred to the service. Table 1 shows a breakdown of the case closure reasons. The majority of cases are closed following one-off interventions, so that can be getting benefit repayment, charity applications, assisting with access for annual gas safety checks, or utility issues. That's followed by support successfully completed, so that is the team dealing with an issue to its conclusion. So that could be rent arrears, transfer applications, charity applications, which can include charities linked with a person's previous occupation, such as the armed forces or the building frame. They also help new tenants who need assistance with setting up facilities, obtaining furniture, or assistance with claiming benefits. Six people were referred to a floating support service because they required longer-term intensive support, which our team could not provide. And whilst 22 tenants stopped engaging with the team, this is fewer than 9% of the number of cases closed. We also record tenancy support outcomes. The work of the tenancy support team has resulted in £38,000 being paid directly to tenants' rent accounts. This figure reflects the initial payment of housing benefit or the housing element of universal credit. It is significantly higher if the benefit secured remains in payment throughout the financial year. In addition, the team have also dealt with 36 cases where safeguarding concerns for children or vulnerable adults were involved. The work of the team to maximise people's income is reflected in Table 2, which details the tenancy support outcomes. Charity applications and new housing benefit applications are the highest outcomes, followed by housing benefit backdate cases. We also record vacation reasons. So when a tenancy is ended, the vacation reason is recorded, and that's shown in Table 3. Transfer within Charnwood's housing stock is the highest vacation reason, followed by a tenant passing away. And tenancy support will not necessarily influence the reasons that people vacate our properties. As Peter has explained, tenancy sustainment is monitored, and the measure used is the number of tenancies sustained for longer than 12 months from the tenancy start date. Only two tenancies were considered to have failed for the period the 1st of April 2017 to 31st of December 2017, and the in-year tenancy sustainment rate is 99.4% against a target of 95%. We also record customer satisfaction, and 10 customer satisfaction surveys were completed with 100% satisfaction rate. We also record any compliments that are received for the service, and it shows within the report a compliment that was received, which shows the positive impact the work of the tenancy support team can have on a tenant's life.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments to the officers? Councillor Seaton.
Thank you very much. It's a little bit like the item six. Yes. I wanted to ask the question about failure to engage. I know there's here 22, which doesn't seem a lot, but when you consider the people that need intervention, it is quite a lot, really. What impact is that on the council of them not engaging, and what do we do about it to ensure that they engage? Do we keep knocking at the door?
Yeah, I can answer that. The tenant support team try by phone, by text, by home visit, by letter, and they will keep trying to engage someone, particularly where people are facing eviction, because we want to try and help them to sustain their tenancy, particularly if it's as simple as helping them sort out their benefit application. So we do try, but as with any service, we have more referrals coming in. So unfortunately, we do have to get to a point where we say, actually, we've tried everything possible, but that person will not engage with the service for whatever reason. And some of it is the chaotic lifestyle of some of the people that we try and help.
Okay, so just a follow-on question from that. The 22 that have failure to engage, how many of those become problematic to the council? Not all 22. Some of them would choose not to engage with the council at all. I'm perfectly all right, thank you very much. But there are going to be some of those that are vulnerable people and probably need that extra effort to contact them, as it will be problematic to the council. Have you noticed that any of those 22
become a problem.
I haven't got the analysis of the individual 22 cases. I'd certainly be we'd certainly be in a position to provide a breakdown if that were required. I guess the difficulty is ultimately if people don't engage with us, and if we try hard and make all reasonable attempts then it may well be that referrals for support can come in for a variety of reasons. You know, we may well be looking to enforce conditions of tenancy, and of course, if we've tried to engage with somebody and try to work with them, it may well be that we have to go through our procedures and enforce conditions of tenancies, which may ultimately result in loss of the tenancy or other sanctions as well.
I would be interested to know how many of those 22 eventually either suffered because they refused help or failed to contact, or you had to foreclose on them, or whatever the outcome would be. Thank you very much.
You want to go, Councillor Huddleston?
Just a question, how many tenancies do we actually have? Just to make sort of some sense of. Because of like 13 evictions, is that half a percent or 0.1%?
Yeah, we've got around 5,700 properties in total, of which a proportion of which are leaseholders. So if you take out the leaseholders, you can probably get more of 5,200.
Sorry, can I just then ask a supplementary, if I may? 5,000 on the previous report, financial report, it says 1,200 in arrears. Is that 1,200 of those 5,000 are in arrears?
Yes, I could get you the current position.
No, that's right. It strikes me as quite a high proportion.
Councillor Brannan.
The two tenancies that were considered to have failed, were they the two that where the tenants were evicted for breaching conditions, or are they separate cases? And if so, were they relevant?
I think they probably relate to, on the first page, it says there were two unsuccessful outcomes, as despite all reasonable efforts, the tenants were evicted for breach of the council's conditions.
So it is that one. Yeah, that's fine. Thanks.
Thank you. I'd just like to sort of comment. I mean, if you look at table 3 on page 4, and you it's a very good sort of analysis of things happening. And of course, some people would be worried to see that there are the equivalent, one way or another, of 52 people asked to quit or are evicted by they're evicted because of arrears, they're evicted for other decisions, there's illegal occupation, people gone to prison, and antisocial behaviour. I think what we have to remember when we look at these, that every action, I presume, or every effort has been made before we get to the stage of eviction. But on the other hand, we do have people on a waiting list waiting for our properties. So it's a bit of a difficult situation. So if we could be just a little bit of the form.
Eviction is very much the last resort for us. With antisocial behaviour, quite often the tenancy support service, particularly for vulnerabilities, will try and assist in keeping that dialogue open with the perpetrator, because sometimes where we're enforcing conditions of tenancy, they won't talk to us, but they will still engage with the tenancy support officer, who ultimately is given the same message, but I think when it's come from a support officer, they view it slightly differently. With antisocial behaviour, we have an incremental approach. We can miss out points if actually it's such a serious thing we have to protect somebody. But generally speaking, we use the incremental approach, and when all else has failed and actually that is our last resort, we will do that. Similarly with people for rent arrears, again, a tenancy support team. There's a small financial inclusion team as well, linked with the income team. So they will try and maximise people's income, make sure they're getting the right benefits, make sure if they're under-occupying, if they're eligible, they're claiming for discretionary housing payments. So there's lots of work that we do before we get to the point of eviction.
Thank you very much. Any more comment? Councillor Lowe.
Can I just ask a question on the right to buy freehold? Now, I read that they've bought the tenancy off of us. A number of 52. Am I right there?
Freehold is where they bought the property, and that's usually a house.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that a regular figure going back over the years? 52, 52, 52, 52.
I couldn't tell you the previous figures.
The reason I'm asking that is because we're not putting back the stock, are we? So this the number you mentioned, 5,000, I believe. So that number must be just drifting away slowly.
There has been an increase in right to buys. Yes.
An increase in right to buys, yes. But not an increase in council stock.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other councillor Brooks?
Everything looks like it seems to be pointing in the right direction. You can kind of take whatever you want from these numbers. All I'd like to see is just some year-on-year figures, just to see from a performance point of view how we are measuring. Just make sure the numbers are going in the right direction, really. Also, just how often this is going to come back to us, because we do seem to be achieving very good targets in it. So the reason for it to come to performance is a little bit questionable, but
this does come annually, so it did come last year, which is why you've got the same period again.
Yeah, I do remember seeing it last year, but I think just some year-on-year figures would be very handy.
I think, are there any other points?
Just a quick one. Seaton. Thank you, Chair. I didn't pick up the 1,200 in arrears, which is that... Sorry? Yeah, is that an increase on last year or
okay,
a decrease?
Just refer me to the page. Apologies.
Sorry, it's not on your report. It's in the finance report.
Previous finance report.
On the last page, it says that.
That was a December. It's not in your report.
It's not in your report at all. It's just okay. In the previous report. It says current tenant arrears 1,220 number. £465,000, and then there's another one about.
Yeah, okay.
I was just interested
in that. In terms of the position at the moment, compared to pretty much current position, compared to last year, the overall amount of rent arrears is more, but the collection rate is also higher as well. So we're collecting more rent this year, which is a good thing, okay? But we've got higher arrears. Now, the thing is with your arrears, is that you can reduce your arrears by evicting people. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily, it's desirable to have low arrears levels, but it's better to have a higher collection rate. So at this point in time, our collection rate is higher, but our arrears are also slightly up compared to last year as well.
I don't know about Councillor Seaton, but my personal worry about it was, if we've got 20% of tenants in arrears now, everything I've heard about universal credit is that arrears go up.
Yes.
What's the situation going to be like in a year's time? That's my concern, because it seems to be starting from quite a high base.
Sure.
Yes, certainly, Mr.
Yeah, certainly. Yes, we are predicting an overall increase in rent arrears due to universal credit. But we've taken lots of actions and action plan in place, and we've known about this since 2012. In terms of universal credit, and so we've done as much as we reasonably can do in order to prepare our tenants for universal credit, and that's also that's included an increase in the number of staff dealing with income and also financial inclusion as well. But overall, we do expect there to be an increase certainly in arrears as we manage that change.
Thank you.
Chair, this is another one of those items where. You need to think about whether you want another update report at all.
We have to think, I think someone's already mentioned this, is why do we want this report? Do we want this report? And what are we giving back? What is coming back to us that we can affect? Councillor Rollins.
I think it's probably going to become more important when universal credit comes in. So in my view, I'd be reluctant to see it drop off of our agenda. The only thing I would support is what Councillor Brooks said about having some year-on-year figures. And again, I think that will help us in monitoring the impact of universal credit. And I know that there's loads of work going on anyway, and I'm sure there'll be reports that deal with that specifically. But I think that this is still quite an important thing given the climate ahead. So I'd like to keep it on the agenda.
Councillor.
Yeah, I agree completely with Councillor Rollins.
Yeah. So you'd like this to come back next
year? Yes, please,
year.
Chair. Yeah.
With comparative information.
With comparative information.
Yeah. Previous year.
Previous year. Thank you. Is that all agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. We now move on to item 10, which is the work programme. This is to consider the work programme and propose to the Scrutiny Management Board any additions, deletions or amendments as appropriate. I'm afraid I'm going to use the chairman's right, and I would like to propose that we ask SMB to look at the Charnwood Lottery 6 months, 6 clear months after the commencement of the scheme.
I think that would be an excellent idea, Chair.
But it would be 6 clear months after the commencement.
Yes. Yeah.
So if it starts on the 31st of May, it would not be until the January meeting that we were looking at it. Because it's got to be the 4 months, really.
Yeah.
Would that be agreeable to the committee?
Yeah, agreed. Happy with that.
So we move that to ask, request to SMB, put that on the work program. So the rest of it, we go through.
It's just the
chart.
The five, the four actions that are requested on page one over into page two.
Yeah.
And then just the note. The current work programme is attached, and obviously you've already agreed during the meeting to, for example, to bring back the housing support item in 12 months' time,
yes.
So we will add that in, and you've decided that you didn't want the section 106 in 12 months' time.
Okay.
So you also need to consider those four
actions,
Chair.
Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Can I just ask on the front why the empty home strategy action plan needed to be put back till July? Was there a particular reason for that?
Yes.
Sorry.
It was done with...
the report wasn't ready.
Ready. And also it would be more a valuable report to have it in July. It was discussed.
Why was it not ready?
I think, reading the paragraph in the middle of page one.
It's an action.
I think it was to tie in with the annual review of the strategy.
Right.
So instead of reporting to this committee and then also doing an annual review, it was to have the two coinciding.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other... So we go through the items, the actions requested, 1 to 4, any comments on those, please? Actually, it's 1 to 5, isn't it? Sorry, not 1 to 4, 1 to 5. Agreed?
Yeah.
So with the addition of those amendments we have noted, this is agreed. Thank you very much.
You.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Reports that come to us, can we make a recommendation that we do, where possible, have year-on-year figures, if not previous 2 years? Because I do find it very difficult for us to kind of review performance when we're only looking at the current figures and not anything that gives us anything to work against to see how we're performing.
Standard practice.
Yeah. Just across all reports where applicable.
Can we
pass that on?
Yes.
Does that have to go back up to
us? No, because it's just the formatting.
Right. Yes, where applicable.
Yeah.
Because some obviously aren't applicable.
Yeah.
And where we can have some useful outcome to it.
Chair, thank you very much, Chair. When I opened these papers to read, I was surprised at how I was reading them, because I must have missed coming to a committee
because the format's changed, hasn't it? So when did that format change? Was it the last? Because we used to have the year-on-year figures, didn't we, of progress? Why did it change?
I clarify, Chair, we do have the comparative annual performance figures in the quarterly performance monitoring report.
Right.
But that hasn't come to this meeting.
Because it's the wrong time of year.
Yeah.
So thank